Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. I'm your host Matthew, and today I'm here to do another film preview. This is going to be for the next version of The Family of Four, which is The Fantastic Four. But this time, being properly integrated into the MCU. So this comes to us on the 25th of July, 2025. It's going to be 2 hours, 10 minutes, called Fantastic Four, The First Steps, action sci-fi film. Set in the MCU. We will get into the cast in a little bit, get into some of the trailers and all that sort of stuff very shortly. It's always good to start off a preview of sorts with how I'm feeling about this film. I'm feeling pretty good about this film. I've not yet seen anything, read anything, heard anything that kind of have like raised questions or anything like that. I think the newest trailer got me kind of the most excited. We saw like a little bit more of the story, but I think that they've done a great job there in terms of, you know, kind of who's in the film, at least, you know, for the most part, unless there's any surprises. But yeah, they've done a very, very good job with that and kind of not showing us too much. And I also don't feel like when I start watching the film, I'm going to be able to go, right, this bit's next because I've seen it in the trailer. Maybe that will happen, but I don't currently feel like that will happen. But no, I think we should all be excited in a way. I don't really see anything. I don't really see any red flags in this film so far. And I think the general idea of, okay, we know X-Men and Fantastic Four are on the way. Those are the next two big things. I know we've got two new Avengers films on the way, but we've had the Avengers before in the MCU. We've not had the Fantastic Four yet or the X-Men, you know, fully. I know we've had bits and pieces of both here and there, but we've not properly been introduced to the Fantastic Four in the MCU yet. And I think that in of itself, if you just have that as a self-contained thing, that should be quite exciting to everybody. It feels like there's a decent amount of excitement going into this, but some understandable apprehension. Because of, I think, Fantastic Four's adaption history. Now let me give you my history with the Fantastic Four, because it's quite minimal, actually. Like, if you were to ask me out of sort of the mainline MCU characters or groups, I myself don't know a ton about the Fantastic Four, which I will let this film tell me. I did see the first two films, the ones with Jessica Alba. I did not see the newer one, which was like the young sort of reboot with, I can't remember who was in that film. I never got around to seeing that, but that was more of like the kind of Fox era. I don't know why I didn't watch that film. I just, I don't know. I just didn't. So yeah, but that was at a time where I didn't feel like all of like the spin-off kind of stuff. I didn't feel the need to watch like everything Marvel at the time. But I don't know what the exact reason was, but that was a few years ago anyway. So I know that what their powers are. I know roughly their relationships to each other and things like that. I don't really know the sort of lore of the Fantastic Four. I don't really know much about like their interrelationships, if they have any abilities together and that kind of stuff. So I'm coming into this from a very personally kind of interested standpoint, where it's sort of, this is more proper MCU, this is like the fresh attempt to do this, and this feels very fresh to go into. I think this is a good choice in terms of, we do have the old Fantastic Four cast. You could still do something with those at some point if you wanted to. We do have the multiverse. But for the mainline MCU going forward, to do a fresh reboot, which is probably what's going to happen with X-Men eventually as well. So that will be exciting when that comes around. But just that idea, I think we should all be excited about that. Now, whether you personally do or don't like the Fantastic Four or whatever, that's up to you. They're a very interesting set of characters to me that I don't know much about, but I know that they're an enormous deal in terms of who they are and what they can contribute towards, you know, different stories and things like that. But I've been saying for many years now that when it comes to the MCU's current state, and like even Because I'm more of a recent, let's say, post Endgame MCU defender. I've been very defensive of what the MCU's been doing, but I felt like I've had a bit of a better grasp on it, or at least a better personal understanding. I don't know. I'm someone who's enjoyed the post Endgame content for the MCU and kind of seen what they've done there. But see, I was gonna come into this podcast and say, this feels like a breath of fresh air for the this is like the next big part of the MCU, like along with your big Avengers films, your big Guardians of the Galaxy films, your big sort of, X-Men, Fantastic Four, like the mainline characters. I don't know, you do have other things, like obviously you've got Spider-Man films as well, but I'm talking the groups more sort of specifically. But even if I did sit here and say, like, this feels like the next fresh, with the emphasis on fresh step for the MCU, I feel like Thunderbolts did that anyway. I mean, Captain America 4 was okay, that's supposed to be like a really big film, it didn't go down as well as it should have, etc., etc. I still thought it was a good film with a lot of parts that I enjoyed, but that didn't feel necessarily like a fresh piece of the MCU with, like, the next big kind of parts. And even though Thunderbolts you could kind of look at and consider that's not like a big fresh part in terms of like the big groups, I mean they're the Thunderbolts, they're very very unknown, that still felt fresh anyway because of what it was. But this will be different to that in terms of it will be the next fresh thing for the MCU, but it will be the next big thing, and I think that's going to be a very big combination. So yeah, I feel excited. I feel very, very interested to kind of get to know these characters more, especially these versions, because these versions we're probably going to have for what, 10, 15 odd years, depending on what even is going on in about 10 years. But you'll probably get a Fantastic Four trilogy. You'll probably get them integrated into, the other big stuff. I can't remember if they were in that list of chairs for Doomsday or Secret Wars. They'll probably be within all those things eventually, and then we'll get the X-Men eventually, and that will just it will just keep the ball rolling, won't it? So yeah, I'm just very personally interested in seeing more about these characters, getting a little refresher on them, because again, I know I said I did see two Fantastic Four films, the first two, like the early Fox era ones. I don't remember much of them, and I only saw them once. That was when they came out, which was probably, I don't know what the release date was of those, probably early 2000s. So again, my Fantastic Four stuff is kind of, I'm aware of who they are, I'm aware of what they can do, I'm aware of like Silver Surfer, Doctor Doom, Galactus I'm not very familiar with, so that's exciting as well, but he's a literally enormous villain, so I'm really looking forward to seeing them. So I'm just really looking forward to seeing just these parts come together, to see the Fantastic Four form, to see what Galactus is about. And interestingly enough for me as well, I think because again my memory of the first two films is very faded, I think it was Silver Surfer for the second film. I remember that character, and again I was very young at that point. Some of you might still say I'm very young, but I was much younger then than what I am now. I remember the Silver Surfer sticking out as just being very cool. I mean, it's this silver character on this surfboard that can just do really cool things. I can't remember what the Silver Surfer could actually do, but I remember that character just being very cool. That was kind of my biggest takeaway from the Fantastic Four films, which was, oh, this Silver Surfer character is very, very cool. And I know that this is a bit of a different version. I believe it's I don't know much about this version of the character, but I'm gonna let this film, rather than me looking these things up, I'm gonna let the film tell me what these characters are about. Because even if I look up their origins and stuff, they might be slightly different to what we're about to get here. But that's very cool as well. This combination of I don't know much about Galactus. I remember Silver Surfer was very cool. Yeah, I remember Silver Surfer was very cool, so we'll see her in this film. I know Jennifer Garner, let me look at the cast list. Julia Garner, sorry. Who was, I think, in Narcos? Not Narcos, sorry. What was that Netflix show? Ozark. I think she was in that. So she's that's a very good casting choice. I don't know if she will fit the role of Silver Surfer. But You can't doubt good talent sometimes. So that would be very, very cool. So yeah, even just alone, the combination of those three things, a fresh reboot of Fantastic Four, integrated into the MCU, getting to know these versions of these characters with, again, a really great cast, which we'll go through in a minute, seeing what Galactus is about, seeing Silver Surfer come back onto the big screen, that would be very, very cool. It seems like Silver Surfer and Galactus might be working together in some way, shape, or form, so that's going to be very interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see where this film ends as well, and because I think this is the last MCU film before Doomsday, if I remember correctly. I think it is. There might be some other like MCU shows, and obviously Ironheart is going on right now. Although, yeah, Ironheart will be finished by the time this comes out as well. So that'd be very, very cool. And to see, like, okay, you've got a film called Doomsday coming out, which includes Doctor Doom. And Doctor Doom is known, at least from my understanding, to be a Fantastic Four villain. But it seems like what they're doing this time is Doctor Doom is going to be kind of sort of replacing Kang. Yeah, kind of sort of replacing Kang as like the big bad for the MCU instead of Galactus, but Galactus is supposed to be more of a specific Fantastic Four villain. So I'm curious to see how all these parts move together and kind of what that means for Doomsday. And I'm sure we'll have a post-credit scene. Is that going to tease Doctor Doom or something? Is there going to be any hints towards Doctor Doom in this film? I don't know, but I'm excited to see how all these things come together. So, I kind of like with this how little I'm like, I know what's here in this film, but I don't know how it all plays out, how it's all connected together. I don't know what Galactus and Silver Surfer know about each other. I don't know what the Fantastic Four know about the two of them. So this is probably at the only, again, out of the big groups. I know there's other lot, there's lots and lots of Marvel characters, but out of the big groups, this is easily the one I know the least about. But yeah, very, very excited to see how all those things come together, and I'm excited in general about like what we've seen from the trailers. I think it looks just of general really great quality. It doesn't look weird or anything. I'm really trying as hard as I can as well right now to not compare this to my feelings on Superman, because my feelings towards Superman and this, which by the way, I've done a Superman preview, so you can go and listen to that if you want to know my thoughts on Superman. The James Gunn reboot, of course, I'm talking about. So that'll be interesting to see, because they're gonna, what's it, like a couple of weeks apart, these two films are, so it's gonna be interesting to see how they do. That leads me on to my next topic, which is, so I spoke about the box office things for Superman and how, you know, compared to Man of Steel and how all that might go down. But I've talked about that already, put that conversation to a side. What about the box office for this film? So, Thunderbolts massively underperformed, which is genuinely really disappointing to me because I really, really love that film. And I think it's just fresh for the MCU. I don't know if it had like marketing problems, or I don't really know why people didn't watch that film. I don't know. That's one that kind of confuses me a little bit more. So, although I don't think Cap 4 did very well either, and I'm not sure why that is. I thought we wanted new stuff in the MCU. And you have a new person being Captain America, you have Red Hulk in there, you've got lots of other interesting things in there. And then Thunderbolts, you've got like, yeah, a bunch of characters that people individually love. So what does it look like when they come together? When they join together? Or, you know, all that kind of thing. Plus, there's like Yelena's character development, the mental health stuff, which was just fantastic. So yeah, so that because that's something that kind of disappoints me with the MCU's audience is like, okay, I get that some people are only interested in the big stuff, like the big Avengers films and all those big characters, and then, you know, Fantastic Four and X-Men and Black Panther and all those sorts of big films and Guardians of the Galaxy. But yeah. Anyway, let's not get caught up on that. I suppose there's kind of a big question here. What happens if this film doesn't make $1 billion? Because again, when you look at the big characters, and you are talking Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Avengers, Justice League, X-Men, Fantastic Four, Guardians of the Galaxy, did I say Spider-Man? Yeah, Spider-Man, Batman, Wolverine, Deadpool, all those kind of like big notable names. So not things like Thunderbolts, understandably. They're all in this day and age expected to, by default, pass $1 billion, which is understandable because they should really, because that's sort of how that works. Or any kind of like big IP thing that sort of comes out is kind of expected to make $1 billion. How much money do I think this film's going to make? See, I've just not seen anywhere near as much apprehension, I think that's the right word to use, apprehension towards this as I have for Superman. Because I think this is the one of the few ones that, even for people that are bored with the MCU or don't currently like it, like this is the next big part of it. Like this and Spider-Man, the is it Brand New Day? And the next two Avengers films, those should be your big guaranteed hits. Like you're not going to necessarily, in the current era, make $1 billion on every film. But if this film makes, let's say, 800 million, I don't know what the budget for it was, I couldn't manage to find that out. Probably around 200 to 300 million, knowing films these days, this day and age. Okay, so let's say it finishes on 800 million worldwide. Is that considered a failure? It shouldn't be. Because when was the last time we were consistently in an era when comic book films, and granted, we've not had that many DC films in the last couple of years because it's going through its phase. When was the last time we like consistently had billion-dollar comic book films? You had Spider-Man No Way Home, that made nearly 2 billion. Guardians of the Galaxy, that was around 800 something million. Black Panther Wakanda Forever, I think, made like nearly 900 million. Then you had, what was it called last year? Deadpool and Wolverine. Of course, became the highest grossing R-rated film of all time, which was like 1.4, 1.6, something like that billion. So clearly that left its mark. The most recent DC film was What Joker Folia Do. That fell on its face, didn't make it any, it didn't really do anything. You can forget the whole like, Madame Web, Kraven, or all that sort of stuff. None of those really did very well at all. Yeah, we're just not really in the same sort of like 2017 to 2019 era when you also had more comic book films as well, because there has been a big cut down on it. But then again, with DC, they've kind of, they've stopped, put the plug in that, sorry, pulled the plug from that, and then started again, which is going to take a few years. Although even around, what was it, 2022, 2023, when we had like five of them back to back, they all pretty much fell on the face. So, yeah, but that was kind of predictable. I don't know. I wonder if kind of, again, Deadpool, Wolverine, Spider-Man recently, Guardians of the Galaxy, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, those are all successful films. But I wonder, like, because okay, if we don't get back to an era, because now that we are like, okay, DC's coming back, Superman's going to be here, will that do $1 billion? It's sort of supposed to. And then we have Fantastic Four here, it's supposed to do $1 billion. I don't know that we ever are, or that we ever need to get back to an era where it's like three films each per year, six films, four of them make about $1 billion, two of them maybe don't work, or that sort of 2017 to 2019 era, which was almost 10 years ago. I don't know that that's going to really happen again necessarily. I don't know. So, my box office prediction, I'd say between 800 million to a billion. It's going to depend on word of mouth. It will depend on other things as well, because like Lilo and Stitch is doing really well. Superman's going to be out in and around this film. 28 years later, still going on. F1's about to come out. What's the other one? So Superman. The two biggest clashes you're going to get is probably between obviously this and Superman, because they both fit the same thing. Although it doesn't mean you can't see them both. So it does have a lot of competition around it as well. You do have Elio hanging around still. I know it's not really doing well. What else have you got coming out? Megan 2.0 is about to come out. They're all going to take little bites out of each other, essentially. So I'm going to say between 800 million and 1 billion. But okay, if this film doesn't make 1 billion, does that make it a failure? No, I don't think it makes it a failure. What number would I choose as the highest number to say this has been a failure? I'm thinking around like the 400-500 million mark as like, okay, this film, I don't know if that's considered a failure, because if you break even and then whatever you make after that is profit, I don't know if that's deemed a success per se. That's going to differ per studio, per film, per whatever. Obviously, film, if a film doesn't break even in any way, shape, or form, then yes, that film is a failure if it doesn't break even, because then it, has lost money. That's just how that works. I don't know what number it does actually need to break even. So, but, because like the an audience member who doesn't like the film looking at it and going, "Ha, you didn't make 500 million, that's a failure." That person might not know what the film needed to break even. So I don't know. I would say if it makes between 400 to 500 million, I would say that's a failure. But if it makes, yeah, if it makes between 500 to 800, because 800 was what I said, wasn't it? I think that's okay. And these are just my estimates. I don't know what Kevin Feige wants this film to do. I don't know what the execs want this film to do. I couldn't tell you those numbers because I haven't been in those offices. So yeah, I would say, and again, I always just say worldwide. I don't really care how a film does domestically or globally. I care about the worldwide box office. 400 to 500, I would say, is a failure. Anything between 500 to 800 is good. And then anything 800 plus, basically, I would say is a success. Obviously, if this makes like 1.5 or 1.4 billion, then that's a raging success. That's like a big success. Those are just my estimates. But then, okay, you could say if a brand new MCU reboot of a Fantastic Four film makes 550, why is that considered okay? I don't know. That's just the numbers I have in my head. I'm not the best at doing, box office judging and all that sort of thing. Anyway, those are some of my overall thoughts on things. Those are some of my expectations, what I'm expecting, my knowledge of things going into this film. So yeah, anyways, take a break. We'll come back and talk about the cast list, I suppose.
Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. back to the show.
All right, let's move on from that. Talk about the cast list. Let me read it out to you first. Remember, this is the one from Google, so it might not be 100% accurate. Although, if this film says it's got, like, Tobey Maguire in it, I probably just won't read that out. I got Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm. Pedro Pascal back again as Mr. Fantastic. Joseph Quinn as a Human Torch. Julia Garner as... it says Shelley Bao. I've probably said that wrong. I have no idea who that is or what that name means. So there you go. Then you got Ralph in that guy as Galactus. He's got that. He's the one who's got that particular voice. You'll know him when you see him. John Malkovich, it says here. I don't know if I know who he's playing. It says Natasha Lyonne. I don't know what's going on there. Paul Walter Hauser. I'm not sure if I know who he's playing. And then you've got Eben Moss Backron as Ben Grimm. Then there's only three more names here. Mark Gatiss as Ted Gilbert. Sarah Niles as Lynn. And Matthew Wood as Herbie, who I think is the robot friend helper. I know some of you, like, and fair enough if you do, like, if some of you who are really big Fantastic Four fans, I'll probably sitting here chuckling at me because of my little knowledge of these characters. That's absolutely fine. You go ahead and do that. I feel like that will be sort of when I'm listening to somebody who doesn't know much about football talk about football, that kind of thing. But that's absolutely fine. But yeah, Herbie, I know very little about Herbie. I don't know if I've ever seen that character before. But he seems to be the one helping the Fantastic Four live their life at their place. So that's very cool. So yeah, very short cast list. Of course, we don't know if there's going to be any... who's going to maybe show up in the post-credit scene, all that kind of thing. So I think this is a very, very good cast list. Galactus, I think, has got a very good voice cast there. That's going to be very cool. Joseph Quinn as Human Torch. Sounds great. Vanessa Kirby. What has she been in? TV shows. The Crown. Okay, I never saw The Crown. Hobbs and Shaw. Done some National Theatre. A Mission Impossible, something or other. What movies has she done Fantastic Four? Shows quite a lot of Mission Impossible films, but ones that I haven't seen. Napoleon, Eden, Pieces of a Woman, I've not seen that. Me Before You, Mission Impossible. Yeah, a bunch of Mission Impossibles, some of them I haven't seen. About Time, Avengers Doomsday, which hasn't come out yet. Yeah, Fast and Furious films, Mission Impossible films, and some other things. So not a lot like a lot of popular stuff there, like a lot of the Mission Impossibles, a few Netflix things. I think Napoleon was on Apple, was it? That was with Joaquin Phoenix. So yeah, somebody, I'm aware of the name, I'm very aware of her. I just am not particularly familiar with her. What's this thing doing? With her CV. Pedro Pascal, obviously, you know, Joel Miller, I'm familiar with him, of course. Mandalorian, Game of Thrones, you know, been there, done that, seen him. Joseph Quinn, of course, from, what's it called? Stranger Things, that's it. Stranger Things and some other stuff. Julia Garner, as pretty sure she was in, yes, Ozark. Wolfman, need to see that film. That film sort of quietly came out and it looked kind of decent and then it went away very quickly. Sin City 2, Royal Hotel, The Americans, I think that was an FX TV show. Perks of Being Wallflower, never seen it. Yeah, I've seen some chunks of episodes of Ozark, and from what I've seen from what she'd done in Ozark, she was very, very, very good. It's a show I need to go back to. And I heard that she basically only got better as the show continued, so I'll take everybody's word for that. So, fantastic actor. And then, yeah, the rest of them are very, very good here. Ebon Moss, as of course you won't see a lot of him, because he's going to be the Thing. He's, yeah, been in The Bear, been in The Punisher, Andor, Girls, which ran for a few years, No Hard Feelings, Avengers Doomsday. Yeah, and then some other stuff. But I've not seen The Bear, and I'm not as familiar with his acting, but again, I've heard very, very good things. And then we might as well click on Pedro Pascal anyway. He's done a little TV show I've talked about once or twice called The Last of Us, Gladiator 2. For those of you that don't actually know, in case it's the first time you've heard me, I love The Last of Us to death, and I've covered it back to front, up and down, sideways, backwards, diagonally, and we have a dedicated podcast for it. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a picture of that. I love The Last of Us a lot. So I've played both games, watched it a bunch of times, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I'll stop there, because otherwise I'll be talking about that for half an hour, and we're not here to talk about that. So Fantastic Four, Last of Us, Gladiator 2, and he played Joel, just for those of you who maybe don't know. Game of Thrones, Wild Robots, Mandalorian, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, Equalizer 2, Wonder Woman 1984, Kingsman the Gold Circle, Mandalorian Grogu. Man, he's got quite the CV. Boba Fett. A lot of stuff. I'm not going to go through everybody's list, but just the main people there. Yeah, it's a very, very good cast list. I'm curious to see, you know, the chemistry, mainly between the sort of main four. We do know there's a baby in this film at some point as well. I know nothing about that, apart from I think it's supposed to be Mr. Fantastic's and Sue's... what's he actually called? He's called Reed Richards, right? Yeah, Reed Richards and Sue's baby. I don't know what powers that baby has. I know nothing about... I didn't know that... I mean, I could have guessed if you say, okay, can you guess that these two who were together have a child in one of the comic books? Sure, probably. There's probably a good chance of that. I know nothing about that child. I know nothing of what happens to the child in the comic books. I don't know what powers they or he has. So, again, I'll be discovering that in this film as well, because I think the baby... I heard something about teleportation, but that's about it. It's impossible for me to spoil anything about that character, because I know absolutely nothing. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting one for me to all these bits I've mentioned, just to see how they culminate together and what this is, the story, how these characters come together, Galactus, seeing Silver Surfer back, seeing how this fits into the MCU, seeing what post-credit scene we get, because we're probably going to at least get one, at least in a big film like this, especially seeing as your next big thing is Doomsday. See, it would be kind of lazy for me to sit here and predict, like, okay, what's the post-credit scene going to be? Is it going to be Robert Downey Jr. puts the mask on and says, I'm ready, or I'm on the way, or I'll do it myself, like Thanos said? I don't really know. It's going to be interesting to see with that, though, because Kang's been written out, which I think was a mistake, by the way. I think, not in terms of... Obviously, I had to get rid of Jonathan Majors because there's just too much noise and whatever there. I don't really... Okay, bringing in Doctor Doom and doing the whole Doomsday thing makes sense. I still kind of think you should have just recasted Kang. And I don't know why Marvel didn't do that. But we're years pulled away from that now. And, you know... I wonder if that means like Kang won't be in the MCU, because we got like the build up to his story, but we never saw it play out, did we? So anyway, we got Doctor Doom here now. The MCU is going to basically have to figure out, like, well, not why is he here, because he's probably here to and again, Doctor Doom is somebody I remember very little about, know very little about. I don't know his motivations and things like that. So that will be another fresh piece for Avengers Doomsday, but we'll talk about that, obviously, much later, because we don't have anything for that yet. I find it quite refreshing, actually, not sort of, just not for like an MCU, and again, I haven't barely read any Marvel comics myself, so even if it was based on other storylines or other things, I'm not like... in that wheelhouse anyway. I only really know the MCU for the MCU, but it's just, yeah, interesting for me, because again, specifically Fantastic Four, I just, as you can probably tell over these 33 minutes so far, I just know very little about them. So let's see what's in store. There's about a month or so, yes, because we've got the films that are out now, then I believe in a couple of weeks I think it's Jurassic World first, and then Superman, and then Fantastic Four. I think that's the order, but whatever. We'll see what happens with those when those come out. I'm not going to be doing a preview for a Jurassic World, by the way, because that is it's out very soon, and some people have already seen it and whatever else. So, yeah. I believe that's it. We'll see what happens in this film in about a month, but I'm very excited. I'm just really looking forward to seeing just yeah, these massive characters being introduced into the MCU. And I know that there's obviously the bit I haven't talked about yet in terms of the main quote unquote main Earth being 616. These characters clearly aren't from 616. They're going to be integrated. I mean, if you're going to have them in Doomsday, which they're going to be in Doomsday, then you're going to do that at some point. So, I should talk about one theory I have actually. Before we wrap up, I probably should have already done that. But now, again, as somebody who knows very little about the Fantastic Four and doesn't really know what he's talking about, although I've talked about something for 35 minutes, and this only came to my mind. And I will admit that this theory doesn't quite make sense, but it's the thing that popped into my mind. So I'm just going to share it anyway, because what the hell? And I don't think this is probably why. I don't think that this thing is going to happen. This is just a guess that came up. So when I'm about to say what I'm about to say, it's not an actual proper prediction or a guess or a theory. But if it does happen, I'll be very curious to see how that works. So. Recently, in other MCU footage, we saw that a certain bunch of characters saw a ship with the four on it heading towards the main Earth. In this trailer, now, of course, trailers can do crafty editing, they can do all kinds of things. And again, I know very, very little about Fantastic Four. What it looked like happened at one point in this trailer. Was and this was just the way that maybe it was the way that it was edited. Maybe the scenes that we saw were shown out of order. I don't know. Is Silver Surfer comes to Earth and says, "Okay, you're marked for death," or whatever she says, and then Galactus comes along. There's then a scene of Galactus showing up later, stomping around, doing whatever, and then you see the Fantastic Four ship take off. And it kind of looked a little bit. Now, I don't think this is what's actually happening. So, I mean, you can laugh at me if you want, because it's a very silly prediction to make. It kind of looked a little bit. Because I don't know also if, like, okay, is Galactus and Silver Surfer going to be one-offs in this film? Are they going to be sticking around? I have no idea. I have no idea. So I'm very curious to see that. It looked a little bit like the Fantastic Four get in their ship and have to, like, escape. But as soon as I thought that, I thought, okay, why would the Fantastic Four need to escape? Why would that be the thing that they did? But what my brain was probably doing then was thinking of a scene I've seen recently in another MCU thing and putting two and two together and thinking, right, if it's a case of Silver Surfer comes to Earth, marks them for death, whatever, Galactus comes down, fights them, maybe they get overwhelmed, or I have no idea what happens. I'm making my guesses based on practically zero. Does it then make sense? That because you will need something to happen for these characters in whatever named Earth this is, which clearly isn't 616, to then join up with 616. So will it be some sort of thing where they get in their ship, which we saw in another MCU thing recently, and they have to escape from Galactus or something similar? Or escape from, not necessarily from Galactus, not in a way of like, oh, we can't defeat him because he's too difficult or something, but in a way of maybe that's not even what happened. Maybe Galactus is defeated at that point. I don't know. Maybe something else happens. Maybe they just get a call or something. Or I don't know. I don't know how any of this works for Fantastic Four. But there's clearly they're in their ship at some point in this film, and they're in their ship at some point in something else recently as well. So there's got to be a reason that that thing happens. But what it looked like happened in the trailer is like Galactus was almost too much for them or something, and maybe they seeked help or some. Maybe it's even the case that somebody else finds out about Galactus, Because how many characters are running around in the MCU right now? Maybe somebody else finds out about Galactus and they contact the Fantastic Four. I don't know why that would happen or why they would know. And then the Fantastic Four reaches out to somebody. So rather than running away, it's maybe a case of somebody contacts them, somebody very powerful, like a Captain Marvel or something. I don't know. There's a lot of powerful characters in the MCU. Maybe Thor or something. Again, I don't know why they would be aware that that's happening to the Fantastic Four and whatever else, but maybe that happens, and maybe it's sort of like, do you need assistance? Come and see us, or something like that, something along those lines. But, because I wonder if this film ends with them leaving that Earth for whatever reason it actually is on their ship. That then happens. It then connects to the other MCU thing, and then we get maybe a post-credit scene. Question I want to ask all of you, because I'll pose it to myself, I suppose. Would it be too boring or too predictable? Let's say this is the end of the film, right? Let's say the ship arrives at 616. One of our 616 characters notices it. It doesn't have to be the same ones from the same thing that I'm mentioning and trying not to spoil. It could be somebody completely different. That happens, they land, and then something happens there at the end of the film. They land in 616 in some way, shape, or form. Would it then be a bit predictable and a bit, not lazy or boring, but a bit predictable and maybe slightly boring for then a standard kind of, here's a post-credit scene. Robert Downey Jr.'s in his, not Iron Man, I was about to say Iron Man suit, in his Doctor Doom suit. He says something fun and cool and then puts on his helmet. I don't know that that would be a bad thing to see, because that's then naturally teasing Doomsday, and we haven't seen anything yet of Doomsday. But would that be a bit too sort of. Well, obviously, that's the next film. He's going to be the main, a very big part, obviously, of the next film. Maybe it depends how they play it out. I don't know. But would that be a bit too predictable? Because that's like the obvious thing to do, right? Especially considering Doctor Doom is supposed to be, at least to my knowledge, supposed to be a Fantastic Four villain, but is now going to be doing something much bigger. I don't know. Do you all think that's like predictable, boring? Do you think that's maybe actually exciting? It might be exciting in the moment, like if the fan in us takes over and goes, "Oh, that's really cool!" Finally, Doctor Doom in the MCU. It's Robert Downey Jr. and it's just a cool moment. But do we need something more than that? Do we need something else than that? I don't know. I think it maybe depends on. Is there any mention during this film of Doctor Doom? There might be just be too much going on. I know it's 2 hours, 10 minutes, but there might be a bit too much going on anyway in terms of like Galactus, Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, and everything else that was going on in this film. So we'll see. Anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on Fantastic Four: The First Steps. Do you know more about this film than me? Do you somehow know less than this film, less about me than this film? I'd be curious on all of your thoughts. Are you a hardcore Final F not Final Fantasy, Fantastic Four fan, and you know loads more about it than me? Maybe you're sitting there having a chuckle about some of the things I said. If you do, that's absolutely fine. I do the same thing sometimes when people talk about football, so that's absolutely fine. If you are a hardcore like Final Fantasy, why does that keep coming up into my head? Probably because of FF, the same initials. If you're a big Fantastic Four fan, you've read loads of comics, whatever, and you're really pumped for this film, tell me how you're feeling as well, and about all the surrounding details with this film and everything else. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK and Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Let me know how you're feeling, and maybe you're on the other side. Maybe you do know about the Fantastic Four, but you're just not excited for this film. You're going to see it because it's the MCU or something. Yeah, let me know how all of you are feeling, whatever your scale is. And if you're not excited for this, tell me why. Have you noticed any red flags I didn't mention or whatever else? So, let me know. Anyway, you can support all the work that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. That's for TV, games, films, and Manchester United podcasts. We did a gaming talk this week. You can check that out. We did, of course, like I mentioned, a Superman preview. So if you want to see my thoughts on the DC side of things, of course, that's a fresh, speaking of fresh, that's a fresh reboot of everything for theirs. So go over there and check out the other side if you want to. You can check out recent film reviews as well, TV stuff, game stuff. There's a lot that we're doing on Entertainment Talk. Of course, speaking of Last of Us, there was recently the 5th anniversary for the second game and the 12th anniversary for the first game. So I talked all about those. And yeah, a bunch of other stuff happening on Entertainment Talk as well. So check it out and support it if you can. EntertainmentTalk.org and podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, and Man United podcasts. So check all those out. If you want to support us in other ways, of course, word of mouth, social media. And if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. I'm sure lots of people in your life will start talking about Fantastic Four and or Superman in the coming weeks. So tell them as well about our coverage if you can. You can also head over to you can support us on Patreon as well, the $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. Geek Town Radio is on a hiatus at the moment. David's on holiday, but will be returning soon. You can still, however, go and check out TV and film news being posted still on geektown.co.uk, so still make sure you go over there and check out all of that. And you can find us for all of our clips, bits and streams and other stuff on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. Alright, let's see what this film gives us in about a month. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.